Columbia Workshop presents the third of 26 by Corwin. The People, Yes.
Tonight, Columbia is privileged to present a special radio premiere of a section from a new American opera by Earl Robinson and Norman Corwin. This opera, suggested by Carl Sandburg's volume, The People, Yes, is being prepared for Broadway production. And tonight's broadcast marks the first public performance of the section to be heard.
I'm on a walking pool, looking for a steady job. Looking high, looking low, everywhere, looking round, hunting a steady income. Come along, little job, can't you turn up? Come along, little job, where are you at? Come along, little job, any old job at all. Come along, I'm on a walking pool.
If I sound kind of happy, I guess it's because it feels so good to be alive in the spring, even if I am looking for a job. Everything's so new and green and hopeful-like. Been on this walking tour nigh on 10 months. Had some luck, 2 or 3 days' work here and there. Construction job in Akron lasted 3 weeks. Bumped into a lot of different kinds of people, too. Some of the yarns they tell and the things they say would make a book. You know that? A book about people, just like you and me. One big story out of a million little stories. Remind me to tell you later about a man named Zeph and the way he explained how people come to be scattered around the way they are. Say, I could tell you things people said to me you wouldn't believe. For example, for instance, there was a lazy cracker who used to loaf around a tobacco field where I worked. He was sprawled out in the grass one day, and I goes over and says, "Pardon me," I says, "how long you been dead?" He raises himself up on one elbow and says,
"I ain't dead, neighbor. Just living slow. Just living at low speed. I suppose you'd say I'm lazy."
"Well, I wouldn't put it that way."
"Well, I would. I sure am lazy. I'm lazier than any 5 men you ever did see. You know how lazy I am?"
"How?"
"Well, I'm so lazy I get up early in the morning so's to have more time to lay around and do nothing."
Now, that may not have struck you funny, but when I told Zeph about that, he near laughed his head off. Any of you folks listening down around Highway 23 in Ohio, you know Pete Sweeney? Has a farm near Chillicothe. Real happy guy he was. Saved himself a little money, had good luck on crops, nice family. I like to see happy people. Wish all people could be happy. Well, maybe there will be someday when they find out a few things and don't let themselves get scattered around. There was no scattering out Sweeney's way, I can tell you that for a fact. The farmers there got together and decided they needed electricity. So they held a meeting, signed a petition, made a lot of fuss and noise, and the sound reached clear to Washington, D.C. And sure enough, after a while, they got their power line. Well, them farmers was proud. Sweeney, he was a smart fella, been to agricultural college. He made up what he called the Maple County Rural Electrification Project song. You should have heard him sing it.
"Oh, it's different than it used to be down on the farm. Ever since the farmers got together, we got after our senators to put us in a line. And now we can read by and wash and cook and feed by the power that we got us when they put us in a line. Yep, ever since we got it, we've been doing mighty fine." "Yes, it's different than it used to be down on the farm. Ever since we farmers got together, we signed us a petition there to get us some power. Instead of just wishing, we signed a petition. We signed us a petition to get us some power. And now we know all there is to know about a kilowatt hour.
Well, month after I finished working at Sweeney's, I got a job on a farm in Indiana, working for the widow of a poor farmer named Mrs. Johnson. Drought and grasshoppers cleaned out practically everything she owned. She was a sad woman. Don't know as I ever see such a sad woman. One day, I asked her why she didn't buy a cow.
Cow? Had one once. Didn't have no feed to feed her, though. So I sang to her.
You sang to her?
Yeah. Sang to her of the fresh green grass to come.
What happened then?
Well, that was the tune the old cow died on.
Zeph loved that story when I told it to him. Said it was grim humor. You know, sometimes when I couldn't get work and had to travel long distances, I'd hop a freight. Met some interesting guys on freight trains. One night, I run into a real queer duck. He was a tramp. Sweetest guy I ever wanted to meet, but I think he was a little touched in the head. He saw me eating a sandwich I'd saved all day so I wouldn't have to sleep on an empty stomach, and he says to me,
"Can I have some of that bread?"
"This?"
"Yeah. I'm so thirsty, I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight."
What's that?
"Give me some, will you?"
Oh, sure, here.
"Thanks. You know, it's good to have an appetite again."
"Why, you been sick?"
"Awful sick. I took so much medicine, I was sick a long time after I got well."
What was the matter with you?"
"Trouble with my feet."
"Well, those are pretty fair-looking boots you got there."
"Well, they ain't so bad. But I can never get these boots on, though, till after I've wore them a while."
You can't, huh?"
"No. Heck, I'm all wrong anyway."
"Well, why? What's the matter?"
"Well, the trouble with me is I tried to get a bird in the hand, and all I got was a horse of another color."
You better have another hunk of sandwich."
"God bless you, my son. God bless you. May you live to eat the hen that scratches over your grave."
Thanks. Thanks. Well, either that guy was loco in the cocoa, or else I'm getting so's I don't understand the American language no more. Some guy. Yep. Well, I hiked clear out the coast before I got another job. Got a week's work in a restaurant washing dishes. Never forget the Chinese cook there. Name was Ah Wing Lee or something like that. Heard me singing a tune one day when things was quiet in the kitchen. I think it was Hand Me Down My Walking Cane. You know how it goes. Hand me down my walking cane.
Yeah, flippy song.
What'd you say?
Flippy. You make flippy music.
Oh, thanks.
That's very nice. I sing too.
You do?
Yes. Old Chinese song. I make up myself.
An old song you made up yourself?
Yes. Old words, no music.
Well, sing it for me, will you?
Yes. I sing.
The fish is so deep in the water.
The fish is so deep in the water.
Maybe
hooked. Maybe hooked.
The bird so high in the air.
Bird so high in the air.
Maybe shot.
Maybe shot. Man's heart only is out of reach.
The heavens may be measured.
The heavens may be measured.
The earth be surveyed.
The earth may be surveyed.
The heart of man alone is not to be known.
The heart of man alone is not to be known. I've thought of that since. Comes back to me times when I'm alone looking for a barn or an empty shack where I can park for the night. Seems strange there can be so many good-hearted men in the world, real nice fellas. Share the last mess of beans with you, give you a lift, take you out of their way, and yet there's fighting going on with everybody killing everybody else, including women and children who never harmed a flea. Like Zeff told me once, lots of people have dreams and ideas and never get a chance to put into practice, he says. Lots of them. But they never seem to get together with anybody who agrees with them. Zeff says to me, he says, you should have seen this town get together quick when we was threatened by a flood a couple of years ago. Why, we dropped everything we was doing and built a levee so fast you couldn't say Mississippi twice before it was built. When something dangerous all of a sudden threatens us, we forget all our quarreling and work together. Be nice if everybody worked together that way against the slow kind of danger, too. Oh, gosh, here I am giving you what Zeff told me instead of telling you how I come to meet him in the first place. Well, one night I wanders into a river town looking for a job. After buying a cup of coffee, I strolls down the main street and hears some music coming out of the back of a billiard parlor. So I mooches over and stands listening to this man whose name turns out to be Zeff. It was a little while before he noticed me.
He built a road with other working men. He built a road. Now over it many a weary mile, he totes his load, chasing a job, burden driven on by hunger's goal. Oh, he walks and walks, 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 and tries to figure why he built the road. He built a ship. Oh, hi. You stranger around here?
Yep. Wandering man looking for a job. Oh, don't let me interrupt you.
I won't if I don't feel like it.
You make that song up?
That song? That's nothing. I make up all kinds of songs.
You do,
songs,
huh?
Yeah. Fighting songs, mourning songs, Bible songs. You ever read the Bible much, son?
Not much, no.
Well, since you're a wandering man, maybe I ought to sing you the Tower of Babel song. That's from the Bible. That explains how there comes to be so many wandering men like you looking for jobs all the time.
Say, that's something I never could figure out. I'd sure like to hear that song.
Okay, brother. Here, take a chair.
Right.
Well, it happened like this. A long time ago, the people of the earth, with their main camp in Babylon, they wanted to put up a tower. They wanted something proud to look at. So the people from out of town would send back picture postcards of this tower. On the back, they'd be printed, Tower of Babel, tallest building in the world, 60 million feet high. On a clear day, you can see five oceans and six continents from the top.
Say, wasn't the workers scared to go up that high?
Oh, no. Them workers were the bravest men in the world. And they were happy, too.
How's that?
Because they were getting good wages, short hours, unemployment insurance, sick benefits. And besides, they were doing something for themselves. For the little family of man, see?
Uh-huh.
They were known as the Happy Tower of Babel Workers Association, Mutual Aid Recreational Educational Society, and the Woman's Auxiliary. And they certainly were happy workers. They had bylaws, constitutions, grievance.
And somehow or another,
benefits,
while Zeff was talking,
and they used to dance,
everything seemed to grow dim around him. There was a look in his eyes seemed to light up the place.
They were
I could hear music coming up out of the cracks in the floor and from out of the wall.
All for one. And then when they picked out the lot that they wanted to build this tower on, they all come a-dancing to work, carrying tools and supplies and singing like mad.
Six-hour day and a five-day week. Yeah, yeah, that's the way the good Lord likes to run a job.
And they danced
dance like dizzy, a-stampin' and a-shoutin' and a-truckin', waving their picks and shovels and pneumatic drills, and just jiving around twistedly tied. Then lo and behold, an architect comes dancing into the midst of the workers, and his arms are loaded up with a mess of blueprints. Thousands of them.
I got the blueprints.
He's got the blueprints.
All brand new prints.
All brand new prints.
Thousands and two prints.
Thousands and two prints.
All but a few prints.
All but a few prints.
Charles Fable. Yes. Charles Fable. Yes.
Oh, Charles Fable blueprints.
Well, the workers just lifted that architect to their shoulders and they swayed with him in a happy dance. While a big Negro cement mixer, he come a dancing up in front of the crowd and he sung them a song.
We got the happy blueprint. We got the happy blueprint. Cause we're planning things the way we choose. Gonna build a tower to make phase one in the Daily News.
Phase one
in the Daily News.
Babel Tower, Babylon, baby. We got the happy blueprint blue. Cause we planning things the way we choose.
The way we choose.
Then the architect, he invited the workers to all look at the blueprints. So they rolled them out there on the ground. They all gathered round and they studied them until the whistle blows for work.
Boys, let's all look at the blueprints. Come on, wait a minute.
People of the earth, the family of man, wanted to put up something proud to look at. A tower from the flatland of earth, made for the people to live in. The biggest housing project ever seen. No more slums in Babylon.
Take away the slums from Babylon.
A tower from the flat land of earth, on up through the ceiling and the top of the sky, and the face of the sun.
Make Mount Everest look like a pimple.
Something to be proud of.
Yeah, something to look up at proud and say, we made it.
Tall and proud to look at, a big job for a man to work at. A tower from the flatland of earth, up to the ceiling, or beyond the mountains of the moon.
The big job got going deep. The big job got going deep. And hunting tunnel muckers, spade men, and truck drivers, steam shovels, cement mixers, timber men, and pile drivers, building foundation for a tower. Down deep in the earth, anchored onto bedrock, caissons placed, piling sunk, we're making a tower.
Gonna be so big you can't see around it in less than 2 weeks.
And so high it takes 2 men and a boy to see the roof.
Sure, we'll have to put hinges on top stories to let the moon pass.
Tall and proud to look at, a big job for a man to work at. A big job.
A tower from the flatland of earth up to the ceiling.
Why
up so fast. In 4 days, it was so high, it was clean out of sight. Everything was going along fine, in great shape. Look at this split. Everybody just as happy as could be, when all of a sudden, 3 guys show up. 3 stuffed shirts. They went poking around, uninvited, staying out of the way of the foreman, yes, waiting for the workers who were hurrying in and out of the piles of supplies on end. And finally, they stopped the bricklayer.
I say, bricklayer.
What do you want?
We want to talk to you for a minute.
Can't stop. Got to work. Big job.
Well, let's try somebody else.
There's a riveter.
Take out some money and handle it sort of carelessly. That'll make his eyes pop out.
I say, riveter. How would you like to make yourself some important money?
From who, when, and what for?
Listen, riveter. You're too important to this job to be working for the same pay as those other men.
Well, those bricklayers and carpenters aren't in the same class with you.
So what?
So why don't you resign from the Happy Tower of Babel Workers Association? Let us form a Happy Riveters Guild.
Sure, guild. That's much nicer than an association.
We'll make you the president.
Well, what do I have to do?
Well, just get all the other riveters to resign with you.
You'd be much happier working for us. We'll form a big company called the Tower of Babel Corporation Incorporated.
With stockholders and appurtenances thereof. You can be a stuffed shirt like us.
And none of their mothers, no stonemasons and tool dressers and winch drivers will belong?
I should say not. You're way above them. They don't even speak your language.
Well, sure they do. We all speak English.
Well, then you better invent some different language. Why don't you riveters all get together and create a language? Call it French.
That's right. Look, it's easy. Parlez-vous, oui, pourquoi, combien, Chevrolet, passé. See? Words like that.
Hey, that sounds classy. Qu'est-ce que c'est cela? Hey, that's all right.
Here, take this money.
Oh,
don't just look it over. Take it.
Oh, okay, thanks. I'll talk it over with the boys. Merci beaucoup.
Pas de quoi. Well, that was easy. Now, let's get after that carpenter over there.
I say, carpenter.
Yeah?
How would you like to make some real money for yourself?
Well, what for?
Well, you see, you're far too important to be working for the same pay as the other.
Well, what's your proposition? Well, so the dirty work began. The guys that were bribed, they went in to start wrecking the association. And God Almighty could have struck them dead, or smitten them deaf and dumb. But God had a different plan in mind. He let all the stuffed shirts have their way. He let all the languages be shuffled. He wanted it to serve as a mighty memorandum of the sinfulness of pride and the wickedness of breaking up an association. And God said to himself, all right, if they want to talk all different languages, they can go ahead. Too bad. I'm sorry. I'm sad. I guess they're slow to learn. Someday they'll learn. Someday they will learn. That's the way it happened. You never heard such confusion with all kinds of new languages going on at the same time. Dutch, Greek, Eskimo, Welsh, Pig Latin, Czechoslovakian. When a particular bunch, they like the electricians or the plasterers, pulled out of the association, they elected their own officers. You know what? Well, the officers, right away, they decided that they were better than the rank and file. So they spoke their language extra fancy. And they said, why, we're speaking the classical mother tongue. And them dopes, they're just talking dialect. That's how dialects happen to be started. Well, you can imagine what happened.
Hey, Pete, let's have a skyhook over this away.
What's
the matter? Can't you hear me?
Reckon we doinked.
You gone crazy, you squarehead? Swing that hook over this way and stop all the palavering.
Doom cook.
Hey, Manuel, no la para que la reprida.
Hot from Eastern China.
I stop.
Good job.
Association.
I'm getting out.
They got into all kinds of rows with their fancy new languages and dialects, and so they just pulled out. They quit cold. They couldn't understand each other anymore. 500 ways to say,
"Give us a hand."
Changed ways of asking,
"Will you throw me a rivet?"
Or of saying,
"What happened to the blueprints?"
Anyway, as I was saying, the job was wrecked. Some called it the Tower of Babel job, and people gave it many other names. The wreck of it stood as a skull and a ghost, a memorandum hardly begun, swaying and sagging in tall hostile winds, held up by strong friendly winds. The sandhogs went back to the four corners of the earth. The timbermen went back to the sleepy valley.
Oh, Mason,
Uncanyon,
Grassmen,
Mountain Lovers,
with their bundles and belongings and their little ones,
all mumbling, "Where to?"
It was sad there, the way it ended. Made me realize that I was just like one of them Tower of Babel workers, wondering where to now, what next. But wasn't it nice, that part where all the workers was working together so happy? Gosh. That's the way it's going to be again. I know it, my bones. Just like God said, the people are going to win out someday. And that's a fact. Well, got to get going. Maybe down around your way again sometime soon. If you know of any good job, just let me get at it, brother. Just let me get at it. So long, folks. So long, people.
You've been listening to the premiere performance of The People, Yes, a new American opera by Earl Robinson and Norman Corwin, suggested by Carl Sandburg's volume of that name. The role of Tom was played by Everett Sloan and that of Zeph by Burl Ives. Mark Wano conducted the orchestra, and the chorus was directed by Lynn Murray. Musical arrangements by Ralph Wilkinson. The entire production was under the direction of Norman Corwin. Next week at this time, the Columbia Workshop will present the fourth of 26 by Corwin, new comedy entitled Lip Service and starring the great harmonica virtuoso Larry Adler. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WBNS Columbus.